Before she knew what she was doing, she started to fidget with her briefcase, shifting from one foot to the other like she was 4 instead of nearly 40. A glimmer of victory flashed in the older woman's eyes. She drew out the silence a bit more before asking, "How's your mama and them?" Sarah was about to respond when Brad Stevens saved her by tripping through the front door. The young patrolman caught himself before he fell flat on his face, but the momentum popped his hat off his head and onto the floor at Sarah's feet. His gun belt and nightstick flopped under his arms like extra appendages. Behind him, a gaggle of prepubescent children squawked with laughter at his less than graceful entrance. "Oh," Brad said, looking at Sarah, then back to the kids, then to Sarah again. He picked up his hat, brushing it off with more care than was warranted. She imagined he could not decide which was more embarrassing, 8 10-year-olds laughing at his clumsiness, or his former pediatrician fighting an obvious smile of amusement. Apparently, the latter was worse. He turned back to the group, his voice deeper than usual, as if to assert some authority. "This, of course, is the station house where we do business. Police business. And we're in the lobby now." Brad continued his tour of the station, pointing to the large open room behind Marla. "Back there's where the detectives and patrol officers like myself conduct their business, calls and whatnot." Maggie Burgess, a child whose parents gave more credence to her opinion than any child of that age ought to be given, dared to say, "Hey, Dr. Linton," in a grating sing-song voice. Sarah gave a curt nod. "Maggie." Brad pushed on. "Dr. Linton is also the medical examiner in town, in addition to being a pediatrician." He spoke in an instructional tone, though surely the children already knew this. "I imagine she's here on county business. Dr. Linton?" "Yes," Sarah answered, trying to sound like Brad's peer rather than someone who could remember him bursting into tears at the mere mention of a shot. "I'm here to talk to the chief of police about a case we're working on." Marla told Sarah, "I'll go check see if Chief Tolliver is available." "Thank you," Sarah answered. "Well, Brad began, brushing off his hat again, "why don't we go on back now?" He opened one of the swinging doors in the counter to allow the children through, telling Sarah, "Ma'am," giving her a polite nod before following them. Sarah walked over to a row of photographs showing various squads in the Grant County Police Force. Except for her time at college and working at the Grady Hospital in Atlanta, Sarah had always lived in Grant County. Most of the men on the wall had played poker with her father at one time or another. Before Sarah moved away to Atlanta, Mac Anders had caught Sarah and Steve making out behind the house of chili dogs. A few weeks later, his squad car rolled 6 times during a high-speed chase, and Mac was dead. She moved on to the next picture, which showed the force when Jeffrey first took over the job as police chief. He had just come from Birmingham, and everyone had been skeptical about the outsider, especially when he hired Lena Adams, Grant County's first female cop. Sarah studied Lena in the group photograph. Her chin was tilted up in defiance, and there was a glint of challenge in her eye. There were more than 12 women patrolling now, but Lena would always be the first. "He said, come on back." Marla stood at the swinging doors. "He's back in interrogation, doing some paperwork." "Thank you," Sarah said. The station house had been built in the mid-1930s, when the cities of Hartsdale, Madison, and Avondale had consolidated their police and fire service into the county. The squad room was nothing more than a long rectangle, with Jeffrey's office on one side and the bathroom on the other. She muscled open the heavy fire door that separated the squad room from the rest of the building. Sarah's heels clicked across the floor as she walked down the long hallway, then stopped outside the interrogation room to straighten her dress and buy herself some time. She had not been this nervous around her ex-husband for a long while, and she hoped it did not show as she entered the room. Jeffrey sat at a long table, stacks of papers spread over the surface, as he took notes on a legal pad. His coat was off, his sleeves rolled up. He did not glance when she came in, but he must have been watching because when Sarah started to close the door, he said, "Don't." She put her briefcase on the table and waited for him to look up. He didn't. And she was torn between throwing her